Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn. With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgara.
We are leaving the Rite Aid on Vermont and Hollywood Boulevard.
And we're going to do a podcast that we're going to put up and let you listen to in a timely fashion.
We are currently doing that.
That's what we're... That's why we started talking, is because that's the plan for
this. We're recording this and you're listening to it.
And that was the plan. That's what we wanted.
Yep. What you're listening to now is the current following through of a plan that is in full force.
And the thing was, is last week we had the exact same plan. We followed through in the exact same way and it still didn't come together.
It's one of those classic cases of technical difficulties.
Very real.
I'm not sure what the difficulty was specifically, but it did exist, and it was only a partial recording, and we disappointed our troops as a result, because it was our Memorial Day episode.
Yeah.
Which I will always remember to never forget that we lost that episode.
And we broke many, many veterans' hearts in the process, and then many lay people, street civilians. We're deeply brokenhearted, and we're very important.
I mean, part of me, I'm being serious. I mean, not that I'm calling you out. We were both speaking in jest, and now I'm going to say that day, I did look at some pictures of my grandpa.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Because he served in what? The Army?
I guess they're all pretty big. The Deuce, you know.
Dibby too.
I have a hat that says USA back-to-back World War champs. So I wore that hat. And then I also looked at pictures of my grandpa who did storm the beach at Normandy.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, that's that scene in
Yo-Yo.
Saving Private Ryan where they're on these armored boats and just jumping out, not knowing what's happening. And most of the people got killed.
Yeah, it was the way they shot that, which I believe, if I'm remembering, it's Saving Private Ryan. It's so scary because they're all just sitting in that boat. It could have been the Thin Red Line, though, but I think it was Saving Private Ryan, where you feel like you have to do it, too, and it's so awful.
Yeah, it's horrifying, and I remember the only time my grandpa talked about doing that was after having seen the movie, which he, if anyone who helped make that movie, my grandpa said it was very authentic.
Oh.
And he just said one thing about his friend's head dismantling. I don't know.
No.
But that's the only thing he ever talked about.
So awful.
But he had is it a silver heart? There's like a purple heart.
Yeah.
Which I have a joke about my dad getting, but it was just a Polaroid of him squeezing his own balls. That's a joke I tell on stage.
On comedy stages?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Some of the better ones.
Right.
The ones that are ready to hear me push the envelope.
Yes.
But I'm not proud of it.
I think it's funny.
But the silver heart is another, or a silver star, something silver.
Silver star, I've heard of.
That's a Polaroid of my grandfather pouring mercury onto his butthole. That one I just made up. I mean,
that was improv.
Well, you know, I like to fly by the seat of my pants.
And yes, I'm glad you did. So this was our memorial episode of Memorial Day.
Yes, we are remembering the Day of Remembrance
in the fallen episode.
And we're also doing that classic thing where so far during the podcast we've pretended the guest is not currently in the back.
It's so uncomfortable.
It always is.
It feels terrible.
Usually I don't like doing it to people because I don't like it when I'm there.
Who's there?
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. Hello.
Who's this?
Outside the car. Can I get a ride?
Oh, but of
well,
course.
Do you need a ride?
Of course. Thank you. Thank you for joining us,
ladies and gentlemen, it's Nate Fernald.
Yay.
Have we ever had an applause break?
No. Usually, right. I'm holding a Bob Barker mic.
Oh, that's right. I'm only the only one that can because I'm loved. Yay, Nate Fernald, one of my favorite people.
Hey, Nate.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Oh, this person's hitting us.
What?
What the?
I don't know.
Honey.
Oh, she had a look of fear and sorrow on her face.
She was totally regretting that she did.
Her reaction was appropriate, and as was yours. You could have gone to anger.
So is it dangerous recording a podcast in a car?
You know, it's a funny time and appropriate that you asked just then, because we did almost get in a car.
Literally, that was inches away.
I'll have you know, Nate, no one has died on our podcast.
Yes, that's a guarantee.
Okay.
That's never happened.
That's a guarantee that hasn't happened thus far.
Yes,
that's
well,
right.
About guarantee to kill on your podcast.
Aw, shit, y'all. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I would like to say that every time we have almost been in an accident, it's because, like, exactly like that, someone's almost hit us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, you were 100% in the right on that move.
She did not, I think maybe she thought those parked cars were just a string of traffic. And she was rushing to get in line.
She was in the right turn only lane next to us at a light.
Yes.
And then when we went through, she was trying to go into the lane.
Classic poor driver move.
Yeah.
She looked genuinely shocked, though.
She seemed very scared. And I think she's going to be nervous driving for the rest of the day and will be extra careful because of it.
For the best.
So.
And
it all turned out.
And any ill feelings, any blaming herself that she might be doing right now, deservedly so.
Yeah.
Wait, did I honk?
Yep,
you did. Okay. And I'll add that her window was rolled down, so she really felt it.
Yeah.
But I think only because so that she would stop driving into my car.
Yeah.
It was an anger after the fact, right?
Right.
No. The second you beeped it was a very reasonable beep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she realized what was happening. She stopped her car, gave like a kind of apologetic
wave. She gave puppy dog eyes.
Okay, good.
And you went, honey. See?
And then she put a gun in her mouth and then drove.
Yeah, that was something I saw in the rearview mirror. Yeah.
It was real upsetting. But.
Yeah, on the way out.
But LA is a safer place because of it.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I think if you do mess up in traffic, taking yourself out is the most responsible thing to do.
It's the easiest way to get off the road.
Yeah.
Is letting yourself up.
Let's go back into the Nate's introduction and how excited we are that...
Before we were rudely interrupted.
Stand-up comedian, actor, writer... you may recently have seen him on the television show Louie as a young comedian, right, Nate?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't play yourself on that show,
did you? I did not play myself.
What was your character's name?
Bart Folding.
And you were just kind of a not that great stand-up comic?
A terrible stand-up comic.
And I haven't seen this episode. Does he tell you you're not great?
He tells me I'm terrible, and he tells me that I should quit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And your feelings are hurt.
Yes.
And it's awkward.
Now, if I explain the rest of the episode, it's kind of a spoiler, so I don't know if you want me to or...
Ooh, it has not yet aired?
It has aired. It aired a few weeks ago.
Well, but maybe just we'll tell people to keep an eye out, because I've heard other people rave to you about how much they love that episode.
Oh, I'm excited.
It was a really fun episode. I was really excited to be a part of it.
That's exciting for me to hear about.
How many things have you acted in, like, on TV before that?
I think that was probably, like, my fourth or fifth thing. I mean, but that includes, like, commercials.
Right.
So. Oh, I've seen you. Is it Okanos that you're in?
Yeah.
Hi.
Dan and Oikos, 000. Zero fats, zero carbs, zero sugars, 25 grams of protein for that extra protein punch that you need to start your day.
Hi.
Wow, I'm sold.
That's a good yogurt.
This yogurt has protein in it, so it's not just for women anymore.
Yeah.
Now men can have yogurt, too.
Finally.
This is a big part of Dana's rebranding to let men know that they can also eat yogurt. And that women,
oh, that's why you catch a cheerleader as a nerdy grocery store clerk. Because like you are now taking on the Okanos Greek yogurt lifestyle.
It's Oikos, Karen. Sorry. It's Oikos.
Okanos is a vacation spot in northern New York State.
You know what I was thinking is my favorite song, Kokomo.
Sorry. Oh, way down in Okanos. that's where the fruit is.
Well, the funny thing is in the commercial, like, there's a football man in it.
A football playing man?
Football playing man.
Oh, sure, an athletic person.
Professional athletic. And
a sports guy.
Is it Papa John?
He is Papa John. And he's, like, telling all about this yogurt, and then I am just this scared little stock boy, and I come up, and I'm like, but will it up my game? And then after I ask that, a beautiful cheerleader lands in my arms, just drops out of the sky into my arms, and I'm pretty psyched. And then he looks at me and he goes, nah, man. So I guess it won't up your game.
Oh, wow.
Was that supposed to be a comedic turn?
No, that was riffed and they kept it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That he said, nah, man?
He said, nah, man.
Well, then what? Then did you have to drop the girl? Because it did up your game. You just caught a cheerleader.
He took her from my arms and just went to town.
Oh, my God. Weird. Right there in the commercial. Right. How long is this commercial?
Yeah, it's very, that doesn't sound like...
You may see the edited version on TV. But
there's some dirty shit that takes place.
Yeah.
Wow.
After he riffed the line, nah, man, I went, but we can still hang, right?
Did they leave that in?
They did not leave that in.
Those dicks.
I know.
That's really funny.
I just got done shooting a commercial last week, and I know that everything that I said that I was proud of will not end up in it, and because there's a lady with a stopwatch.
Yes.
Saying, speak faster, it has to be under 30 seconds, and I know it's going to be the short scripted version.
That sounds high pressure.
Yeah, it was high pressure. I got covered in ants. I got bit by the ants.
Oh, God.
Look at this bite. That's just... They just covered me with ants.
Karen, you look at the road. We'll look at the bite.
The bite hurt. I have other on my torso. Karen, look at the torso.
Oh, my God.
All right, Karen, pull over and let's check out
let's do a full body scan on Chris.
Oh, and I got leeches. They were fake leeches. I had to pretend to wrestle piranha.
What if you got leeches and then when they're real and then they took them off of you and you were like 100% totally healthy?
Right.
None of your bones hurt.
You know, I was making those kind of jokes and apparently they still do leeches for mostly beauty. You know, like your Gwyneth Paltrow types will get leeches on her kidneys or something.
For real?
Yeah, you know, like dumb people do it.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
That's like Candy Spelling. Tori Spelling's mother used to have water from Mexico shipped up so that she could drink it and get diarrhea and then lose weight.
Oh my lord.
That was a common practice in the 80s. Wow.
There's so many domestic ways to get diarrhea.
I know.
She wanted the most exotic one.
See,
Montezuma's.
I want to know how to not have diarrhea.
Oh.
Weird. Do you want to get fat?
I mean,
that doesn't make any sense.
This is the diarrhea generation.
My dieting tip. Just be so nervous you always have diarrhea.
Yes. I think that's how a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
Mine is to be careless with chicken preparation. That's how I stay fit.
Sometimes I'll just cut myself deeply, let the wound get exposed to dirt and germs.
Karen.
And then get kind of a deep staph infection.
Oh, God.
Then they have to go in and dig out bone.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is just nauseating to talk about.
You're getting rid of heavy bone?
Yes. I mean, because I'm big boned.
Oh.
Like Garfield.
Oh, I love lasagna causes. Oh, don't get me started on lasagna.
Let's not get started on Garfield jokes.
We just did some lasagna pizza in this box right here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What?
Real good pizza. Do you want some pizza?
There's pasta on the pizza?
No, it's just.
No.
It's actually not very lasagna. I don't know why they call it lasagna pizza. It's more like meat and cheese pizza.
Without the noodles?
No noodles.
No noodles.
That makes me as mad as chicken pot pie soup, everything but the crust.
The only good part.
Yeah, it makes me furious. Every time I see that Wolfgang Puck lie soup.
He's got such a punchable face, that Wolfgang
Puck. His face is like a target for punches.
For punching.
What does no staging on Fig mean?
Oh, it's an old theater term. back when they did, I don't know. I'm actually not sure.
Because that flashing sign just said no staging on Fig, so.
Do they mean Fig? We're on Figueroa right now.
Oh.
But they just call it Fig?
I mean,
guess so.
Maybe the sign burnt out? And also, what's staging?
Yeah. That's a cool sign.
Staging? Does that mean, like, stopping in the road and posing confidently?
Yeah, please don't do that, because you will get murdered by cars.
Yeah, is that that's like a Fast and Furious type phrase.
Yeah, we're riding on Fig right now.
Yeah, we're straight on Fig. We're going to go downtown and just drive around this horrifying downtown part of Los Angeles.
You know what? During the day, it's not that
this
bad.
Is, what is this? This is terrifying. You're just driving down the street, and then all of a sudden, it becomes the wrong way?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't what the this is one of the most poorly designed moments you can have in Los Angeles.
Wow.
There's no, all of a sudden, no, and the only option to our right here is to get on a freeway you may or may not want to be on.
Yeah, the 110, which you kind of never want to be on.
Ugh, I hate those accidental freeway moments.
Yeah, they're pretty upsetting.
Does the 110 go to Santa Monica?
No, the 110, you can use it to get to the 10, which will then take
there
you to Santa Monica.
There are the 10, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
I'm learning.
You're learning just in time to leave.
Yeah, I know.
We aren't taking you to the airport, right?
You can if we want to do this podcast again.
When is your flight?
Tuesday night.
Okay.
Or Wednesday night.
Okay, that we'd be dropping you off way too early.
No, I rented a car, so yeah.
Oh, terrific! What'd you get?
I got a what's the H car? That's
Hyundai.
Because this is a Honda.
Yes.
Oh,
okay,
yes.
It's a Hyundai then.
Yes, I pronounce every syllable.
It's a Hyundai.
Every consonant and vowel.
Ak Kent. Ak.
Accent.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Yep. That
wow.
Was,
I haven't seen that move since DC Cab.
I thought you were going to say with the Chaz Palminteri movie where he drives backwards all the way to the bar. He's the gangster. Was that a Bronx Tale?
I don't know.
It's
I love
one
it.
Of my favorite moments of any movie. He just drives in reverse to the bar that he works at to impress a person that's in the car with him to show that he's the king of Brooklyn or wherever they are.
What's the craziest thing you guys have seen on the road while doing this podcast?
There was a couple crazy things happened during the Todd Glass episode. I think that's both that we would both mention that. One was I did roll down the window and taunt. There was a guy riding a bike on a fixed gear bike, and he was being very strange and cocky and weaving around, and I rolled down the window and said, "Yeah, we get it, you're on a bike or something." And he pulled off his U-lock and chased us, and we were stopped at a light, and he took a swing at Karen's mirror, trying to knock off the mirror.
Whoa.
And launched into traffic and could have gotten killed, but he didn't. And right when we were done talking about that, we saw a horrible fight that ended in a knockout at a bus stop.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so we just, because this is only audio, we'd had to. Oh my God! We just saw a guy.
I know. I was saying, no, it's going to be a frustrating thing to listen to.
His eyes rolled back.
What I love is sometimes when I listen to episodes and just like what will happen when like that lady almost hit us, where there's a totally normal conversation where people are talking about stuff, and then everyone just starts yelling all at once.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's one thing that I think people like about our podcast is there's sudden outbursts of fear. Just while you're in the middle of talking about the latest
I know a lot of people listen to podcasts while driving. Do you think they listen to this one while sitting?
We've heard that they listen to it while driving also.
Huh.
And then
double driving.
Yeah.
And whatever happens in the car, you know, oftentimes like in a radio commercial, it's so horrible when they do this. Like there will be a honking noise or a siren on a rap song or something and you freak out and almost pull over. I guess people have that same experience with our podcast.
It's
has
so
anyone
real.
Ever done like a Riff Tracks type thing where they were like they get the route that you drove and then they listen to that episode and drive the same
How
route?
Could you? The routes that we use are like it's basically me just going where I want and then at some point realizing I now have to get back to where we started.
Right.
It's so random.
Because every one of our rides has to last exactly an hour.
Uh huh.
Or we try to make them last an hour.
When we do the ones like that. Now, wait, Nate, do you, in New York, you don't have a car, right?
I do not, no.
So you're just public transit, like every normal
I do
person.
A lot of biking.
Do you really?
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm not the kind of guy who's going to swing my U-lock in a mirror.
No,
What's the
no.
craziest thing that's happened to you, biking?
Yeah, that's got
to
be horrifying.
I bike super defensively, so I actually haven't had much. Like, the only thing that happens is, like, you know, someone opening their door and not looking, or someone, like, turning right and not looking in the bike lane.
My mom broke the arm of a lunch lady at my school that way.
Oh, God.
Turning right in front of...
She threw open the door on her Volkswagen bus, and this old... She was elderly. She hit the door and broke her arm.
I don't bike super fast, and I am, like... I'm always, like, looking. Like, when I'm biking along, like, I look in the cars to see if there's people in them.
Good.
And then if I see a person in it, I kind of, like, go a little wider. So I haven't had too much crazy stuff. Like, good. I've had more crazy stuff happen when I am just walking and a biker's being a dickhead.
Right. Well, I'm really impressed, because I find this to be a horrifying city to ride a bike in, but... In New York, I found it was horrifying just to be in a cab. They really move really fast. All the cars are close together. It's hard to get used to, I can't imagine being a bike
in the middle of them. Who most people know, I drove with him. He drove an SUV in New York City one time so expertly. And I was like, how are you doing this? I don't even know. Like, nobody is obeying the actual rules of the road. I don't understand what's happening. Like, he was just, like, gunning it up 7th Avenue. It was crazy.
Wow.
I hate driving in New York.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a very specialized skill, I think.
That surprises me about Dave, because one time, he was my manager for a little while, and one time we all went to Mammoth Mountain, me and Morgan Murphy and this guy, Zeke Pystrip, who's my friend, and I separated my shoulder severely snowboarding, and I have a shifter car, you know, those shifter cars. And I was the only one out of all those adults that
knew how to drive a stick shift.
Oh, I learned on stick shifts.
And I said, please, could someone drive my car back for me? My arm is in a sling. And they said, sorry, man, we only drive automatics. And I said, how do you call yourselves grown-ups?
Seriously. That's so lame.
That's the last time I saw all of them.
Good.
I had a one-time car valet job once, and anytime someone dropped off a stick shift, they had to wait for me to get back.
Wow.
Oh, that's great. So it is common. It's surprising to me. But
yeah.
It's surprising me, too, because I grew up... My dad loved Volkswagen Bugs, so that's... We always had one,
right.
And that he made my sister and I learn to drive.
Yep, I learned in the Volkswagen bus, and it's not the easiest shifting experience.
Yeah.
No, it's really... It's like you're driving the most pared down version of a standard shift car. It's like you can see the gears almost.
Right.
And he taught me how to, like, do it by ear, and he would get really livid if I would lug the engine. So, like, I can't... Have you ever driven with someone who kind of doesn't really know how to drive a stick shift?
Mm-hmm.
So they, like, lug the engine the entire time?
Well, when I first had my stick shift car, I was not totally comfortable driving it. So I would wake up early to go to school before my mom left for work and just take her car and just leave her with my stick shift. You're like, this is your problem now. And,
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Boston, but then I moved to a suburb of Boston, and that was right.
Near the Okanos?
Near the Okoikos.
Yeah, the Yogurt Valley. I know that area.
The Yogurt Valley is so upsetting.
Yeah, it just really sounds like an unpleasant living experience.
It would smell so sour in the Yogurt Valley.
On a sunny day.
Ooh,
Yogurt Valley.
But
did I tell you my big story from the yogurt set?
No.
I don't think so.
So, I hope I can talk about this without breaching any contracts.
I was told to pull down all the photos on Instagram today.
Well, so...
Just warning you.
We filmed, and well, the commercial's already aired, so I think it's fine.
Oh, okay.
Now.
No, you're free to talk about it.
So, we were filming in, like, an active grocery store, but we had, like, the back blocked off where we were.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of extras who had, like, the new product logo on their jerseys. And the Danning guy was like, hey, if you're not filming and you're walking around the grocery store, make sure you cover up that logo, because we don't want people taking photos and tweeting out our new logo before our commercial goes out. And everyone's like, who the fuck is going to be like, oh, new Danning logo, sick, gotta gram this.
Just to hardcore graphic designers.
So no one really gave a shit, and then a bunch of extras are walking around the store, and then this guy starts taking photos of them with his phone, and you hear the Danny guy go, "That guy works for Chobani! Get him out of here! Get him out of here!"
No way!
And it was a Chobani spy.
Yes!
No way.
Shoot.
On the set.
And it was like, like taking pictures to find out what this new product was.
Was it John Stamos himself?
It was. Well, it's funny. This commercial was... This was the first post-Stamos Dannon commercial.
Oh, he's a Dannon
guy? He's
team?
A Dannon guy.
Okay.
But they dropped him because they're going for the... Because men don't give a fuck about Stamos.
No.
And they need to get men to eat yogurt now. So they got the football man instead.
He's so dumb.
So I like to pretend that I, like, replaced John Stamos. And then I auditioned. So he has a new TV show coming out that Dan Klein is writing for.
John Stamos?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I auditioned for the part of his son in it.
Uh-huh.
And, and when I was auditioning for it, I was like, hey, guys, you know, if I get further in this, you know, just don't let Stamos know I'm in this new Dana commercial, because, you know, I feel like that could really fuck up my chances.
Oh, you said that to the casting people?
Hey, guys.
Did they get it? Every time I do it.
No, I said it to my agent.
Okay. I've tried to say jokes like that in auditions, and yeah, never.
I have stopped that.
Yes, they do not. They never have a sense of humor. Yeah.
They don't. Do you imagine the people that try to be funny in this? Auditions.
Yeah.
Imagine the quality
me
of
and
comedy
Chris.
That comes out.
Yeah, that's, we are the ones. Every once in a while it works, though.
I'm sure the rest of the people just do their jobs and read the lines.
Yeah, but, and they walk in quiet, and they don't nervously blurt.
I was going to say, Nate, do you want to talk a little bit about your new mashup album?
I'd love to.
And maybe we can listen to it a little
I'd
bit.
I'd love to. Okay. So, you know, comedy is how I pay my bills, but my real passion is music. And I actually recently completed Volume 2 of my new mashup album.
Wow.
And I guess, you know, for those of you who don't know, a mashup is when you take, like, you know, parts of different songs and, like, put them together and make, like, a new song.
Right.
So, is your stereo on?
Yes.
It is now. Okay.
It is now.
So here's just a couple tracks off my mashup album, and cool. I hope that the sound reaches from the speakers into the microphone properly.
They will. Okay. I will adjust accordingly.
So, like, you know this song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I've heard this.
Yeah.
Soundgarden, I think.
So, you know, that's one song off the mashup
okay.
album.
That's great.
Cool.
Is that it? That's a full track?
Well, you know, it finishes out.
You just get the idea. You're just giving us samples.
I'm just previewing it.
Perfect.
So here's another.
Okay.
Know.
Oh, I like that first one.
So it's another track.
What was the first song?
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of the last one.
Do you guys like the show Friends?
Yeah.
I love Friends.
Well,
oh, okay.
I mashed up the theme song to Friends.
Oh.
It's a mash.
Oh,
yes.
I like where this
so
is going.
Classic.
God damn it. God damn it, Nate. God damn it.
Let's try another one.
All right. I'm willing to listen to a fourth track.
Okay, hey, anyone here like The Stones?
Oh,
yeah.
I love The Rolling Stones. They're
classic.
Ah, oh, this is a good one.
So, you know, that's...
And how many more tracks are on this album?
So, this is their 10 tracks. This is Volume 1.
Okay.
Week Music Volume 1. But I just this week completed Week Music Volume 2.
Uh-huh.
I would love to play you some tracks off Week Music Volume 2. Just kind of...
Okay.
Okay, cool. It's a different album, right?
Different album.
Okay, good.
Music Volume 2. You're taking mashups in a different direction.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Great. Yeah.
God damn it.
That's that one.
God
you know.
Damn it.
This is really taking...
Oh, I love this band.
Yeah, Orange County Punk. God damn it. Nate.
And then this one, I took some different directions. I don't know if, you know, if there's any classical fans here, but...
Yeah. Beethoven, baby.
Oh, that wasn't even a... They weren't even...
I feel it, yeah.
There was a gap there. They weren't even mashed together.
I mean, well, no, that's the gap that's in That's the gap that's there.
Oh, okay. You used the silence, too.
He was using that silence to draw us in.
Are you guys friends of the band The Rentals?
Dude. Is that? Sorry.
I don't think so.
We should listen to it.
Well, here's the thing is this one, unless you know this song by The Rentals, the mashup may not be as impactful.
I only know of The Rentals because of one song, so I bet this is it.
It's probably that song.
Okay.
Okay. It's been
God damn it. Jesus.
Now
sorry.
I have to do one more. One more mashup here. This is the final track on Weak Music Volume 2. This
okay.
is part of a 10-volume series, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, there's going to be 10 albums of this.
Yes.
Perfect.
So well, this is track 10
I'm
on
willing
Volume
to give
2.
It a, I'm willing to give it a listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This is old Bowie, I think.
Ground
control
to
Major Tom. Yeah, I like
this.
It. Oh, my favorite part of this song is coming up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's coming up. Here it is. This is my favorite. It builds up here, and it's my favorite part.
Bowie was a genius. Ground control to Major
Tom.
Eight.
Oh, seven. They really do count down to my favorite part.
Yeah.
Here's my favorite part. God damn it! God damn it! That was right during my favorite part. All right.
I mean, artist subjective. Nate, what is your plan?
Okay. Here we go.
This one needs no introduction.
God. All right, I'm starting to get anxiety.
I need to describe the devious look on Nate Fernald's face right now. It looks like an 8-year-old with a fart machine.
I'm a bad boy.
He's so thrilled. how long did it take you to make these albums, Nate?
Yeah.
You know, a little while. It's hard to say. I go through a lot of songs before I find... Like, I actually mashed up about 15 or 20 songs before I found the 10 for this volume.
I see.
So, I mash up a lot of them, and then I kind of pick
them. So you have rejected B-sides that can maybe come out on an 11th album?
Oh, I sure do.
Oh, that...
You're going to have, like, a Peel session situation take place.
Yeah, there's going to be... We'll do a B-sides and rarities.
The only Peel session will be me... trying to get me off the edge of my seat waiting.
Yeah.
I don't know that I did that correctly.
I was
okay,
there
thanks.
With you, totally.
Okay,
well,
thank
Nate,
you.
So people can buy this in stores everywhere?
They could buy the components of it in stores everywhere.
And then put it together themselves.
But if they would like to hear it in its entirety, just go to natefernald.com/weekmusic.
Hey! And what else is on your website?
A link to my Twitter account.
Great. For people who can't approach Twitter in a direct way.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's hard to find someone's handle because some investment banker has your same name somewhere.
If you can't remember twitter.com/NateFernald, then just go to natefernald.com/Twitter mailing list. And there you can sign up for my Twitter mailing list, where I will email you every time I tweet. This is true, by the way.
No.
This is true.
No.
This is true.
This is the truth.
This is the truth.
Oh, my God.
NateFernald.com/Twitter mailing list. Now, I don't email you the tweet. I email you letting you know I've tweeted. And you got to go to my profile and you got to look at the tweet yourself.
So it's up to, okay.
Yeah, that's just a friendly reminder. I give you some backstory about the tweet.
How often do you tweet?
Not as often. Well, here's the thing. I used to only tweet, like, you know, once a week or twice a week, but now I've been tweeting a little bit more, and unfortunately, Anonymous hacked my Twitter mailing list, But they're still pretty cool, and we'll send out like an email about my tweets like every now and then, but just not as not every tweet. So,
what are you being serious about the anonymous part?
they have sent out emails from my Twitter mailing list.
I see.
Letting them know that it's been hacked, and they're basically demanding that more people fave and RT my tweets before they relinquish the mailing list back to me.
So they're really taking some political action on your behalf.
I mean, they like my tweets.
Okay.
But yeah, well, that only sounds like a good thing.
You're lucky they're on your side, because they can really do some damage.
They're like those V for Vendetta people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they are.
And that's their little avatar.
Karen, do you know about Spider-Man tweet?
I don't know. Isn't anything like Shrek?
Very similar.
Okay.
So I kind of got a little bit of a backstory here. So my friend Jim Van Blaricum, great guy, he posted an article on his Facebook about how they're rebooting the Spider-Man franchise.
Okay.
And I left a comment on that on his Facebook. I said, more like Re-Peter Parker.
Nice.
Pretty, I like that.
Yeah, it's a good joke.
Sure.
It is.
And it got a few likes, like pretty quick, like pretty fast. So I then put it out there on Facebook. I said, hey, if this Facebook comment gets 10 likes, I'll turn this joke into its own tweet, you know, to see if people wanted it. Blew past 10 likes pretty quickly.
Wow.
So we added some stretch goals to the campaign. if the comment could get 20 likes, my friend Zach Broussard was going to retweet it to his 5,000 Facebook Twitter followers.
Wow.
And then if the comment could get 75 likes on Facebook... last week, Tonight writer and co-author of the popular Modern Seinfeld Twitter account would retweet it to his bunch of Twitter followers.
Wow.
We reached those goals no problem. And word about this tweet got around, and I was contacted by Saturday Night Live's Vanessa Bayer.
Oh, my God. And she sounds like this tweet went viral.
She said, if this Facebook comment can get 100 likes, she would also retweet this tweet. So, you know, I did some campaigning on Facebook. Keep in mind, most of this time, Jim's Facebook was private, so people had to friend him so they could like this comment. And we reached to 100. We blew past 100, and then Silicon Valley's Alice Wetterlin contacted me. She's like, I love the Spider-Man tweet. I want in. If you can get 200 likes on the Facebook comment, then she would also retweet it. We made it. She retweeted it. And then Kumail Nanjiani got on board.
No.
He said if we get to 250 likes on the Facebook comment, he would retweet it. We made it. He retweeted it. And he also promised that if we get 1,000 likes on the Facebook comment I left on Jim Van Blaricum's Facebook, then he would get the entire cast of Silicon Valley to retweet Spider-Man tweet. And that's where we're at right now. We're a little over 300.
Even Martin Starr?
Oh, wow.
That's what he said.
I mean, it sounds like it might make it on the show.
So we're trying to get there. You know, if you guys go to natefernal.com/Spider-Man tweet, you can...
Now, Nate.
Yeah.
Are you a viral marketer? Are you an internet expert?
It sounds like
I'm just someone who takes my passions as far as they can go.
And makes them happen, it seems like.
So, you know, Spider-Man tweet has probably been one of my most successful tweets to date.
Yeah.
And, you know,
how
we've done...
How does the tweet go?
They're relaunching Spider-Man again, more like Re-Peter Parker.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You forgot the beginning of the story.
Yeah, that was so long.
It was kind of a ways back then.
I remember more like Re-Peter.
But to all the listeners, I'd really appreciate it if you could maybe go give some likes to this tweet. So remember...
A call to action.
Yeah. We're hashtag race to 1,000. We're trying to get to 1,000 likes on this Facebook comment so that we can get more retweets on this tweet.
I'd love to help you, but I'm not on Facebook.
And if you're listening to Do You Need a Ride on iTunes, go on iTunes and give that tweet a high rating.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. So,
good plan.
Have you gone through iTunes? Have you done any marketing through iTunes?
I haven't yet. I was thinking about maybe making a Spider-Man tweet podcast just to keep the fans up to date.
Good idea.
On what's going on with the tweet.
Right.
We've got a Facebook group people can join. It's a little community.
I would go on
you
to...
know, people talking about Spider-Man tweet.
Squarespace or something and just make a website for it.
Well, I had natefernal.com/Spider-Man tweet. We've also got a merchandise page there. You can buy Spider-Man tweet tees.
No.
Yeah.
Do you have any coffee mugs?
We do.
Oh, great.
Though, currently, them dealing with the legal team right now. Mm-hmm. Cafe Press just pulled all the Spider-Man tweet images because they think it's in Marvel Comics copyright violation.
Yeah.
But it's not. I don't think it is because it's hashtag Spider-Man tweet, one word, no spaces.
It has a different feel.
Yeah, I don't think it's a different time on that.
Maybe you could get Sam Raimi on board. Is he in charge of the new...
Does he know Alice Wetterland?
He might.
Okay.
He might. But, you know, we got a long way to go. It's an uphill battle with Spider-Man tweet, but I think it's going to...
It'll be worth it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be worth it.
Well, and also, with the legal battle that you're in,
mm-hmm.
is there anything to connecting some kind of GoFundMe...
Indiegogo
Kickstarter element so that you don't lose money while you're trying to get this tweet promoted?
I have thought about maybe making an Indiegogo to, if I can't get the Spider-Man tweets, the graphic okayed for mm-hmm. me to make those t-shirts.
Yeah.
I was thinking of maybe raising some funds to properly license Spider-Man.
Okay. Well, if you need to raise awareness about those funds, I can help there.
It Great. Might be... Could it be cheaper to raise funds to sue Marvel?
Right.
For the rights?
Just lawyer up.
Yeah.
Hey, Karen? How would you like to be added to Team Spider-Man?
Hey, have I pitched some great ideas today, or what?
We currently have two producers and an intern.
I was filled with ideas a second ago. When my place is needed, well, I am available.
Chris, I'll say this. Our intern was just promoted to junior producer.
Ooh.
So we are looking for an intern.
A lot of upward mobility at this
Is that a project. Unpaid position?
It is unpaid.
That's fine. That's fine.
The whole time?
It is unpaid.
Okay.
But...
that's okay. I can just stay afloat with the money I make on this podcast.
Oh, good
but
idea.
Like I said, our last intern was promoted to junior producer.
And how quickly did that happen?
It was probably about 2 months.
Ooh, that's
she did
not
a lot
bad.
Of good work.
It's not bad.
Spider-Man, I'm campaigning for Spider-Man tweet. So there is, like, it's not just like a dead-end internship. There is a future in it.
Now with the merch and the mugs, how much revenue have you
I have set it to the lowest possible revenue on Cafe Press because it's not about the money for me. It's about the tweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel
that's cool to hear.
Because there's been such a huge, great community of people helping like this thing on Facebook and getting the word of this tweet out there, I don't feel that it's right for me to be profiting a lot off of this tweet because it's...
Too many people are these days. I feel like
it's our tweet, you know.
Too many people are tweeting for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
These days.
You lose your way when the money comes in. Mm. It's very easy to get caught
it's
up
like
in that.
Every dick joke someone fires off, all they're seeing is dollar signs.
Yeah.
When we reached 100 likes on the Facebook comment for the tweet, I actually said that anyone who had clicked like in the first 100, I gave them full permission to tweet Spider-Man tweet themselves and not even have to RT my tweet, but like tweet it on their own.
That's great. So, and people love autonomy and that kind of, they really, that's ownership for them.
It's a community project and, you know, I'd love it if the fans of D&D Right wanted to get involved.
Yeah, it's like a co-op.
I mean, you've easily now got about 21 people on the hook
That's
for
great.
This, right? Wouldn't you say?
That are currently listening?
Yeah. And that just can, gotta be fascinated
that
by
can
this.
Put us. That can put us over 350, no problem.
That would be amazing.
Up until now, we've been serious, but that, of course, there's more people than 21 listening. Let's just... We get very high numbers on this podcast. That's something I will not joke about.
Suddenly Fairbanks gets deadly serious.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
And also, I can get Sam Raimi, just no one asked.
Shit.
Tig Notaro used to be Sam Raimi's assistant.
Really?
So, the end.
Hold on.
And
so
I used to live
Howard
with
Kramer?
Her.
The end.
The end.
When you
summer.
When you dangled that out there, it mm-hmm. was for a reason.
Yeah.
I see.
No one bit. But
right.
now I'm just saying, I can get Sam Raimi.
Got it.
I know someone who's very close with who will call me back that has him on her phone.
Nate, well, this sounds like a great way to kick off your internship.
This is... this will lock that internship down.
I'll tell you right now, If you promise me to get on that, I'm not even going to interview anyone else for the internship position.
Really?
Yeah. It's a guaranteed free internship job.
I will make the formal announcement this week that you are the new Spider-Man Tweet intern.
That feels good. God, and I thought today we were just doing a regular old podcast where nothing comes of it.
Yeah, you'd think it was just fun times, but that's not how social media works anymore. Yeah.
No. God, I wish I was like you to where I just had it all dialed.
Yeah. Well, we can all aim to be like Nate.
Here's the thing. You know, a lot of people make a lot of great tweets, and then they just move on down the feed, and they get lost to history. Spider-Man Tweet ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Tweet has been getting consistently RT'd for approximately 2 months. So, and it doesn't appear to be slowing down anytime soon.
It only is building.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have any connections on, because I know Silicon Valley, it's a great show, it's a critically acclaimed show, it's an HBO show, might not have the viewership of a Big Bang Theory or of a The Mysteries of Laura. Do you know any people that are on Network?
Yeah.
That you might be able to connect to?
Like a Hugh Laurie vehicle.
Not Network, but I am about 2 degrees connected to Zac Efron.
What?
Sorry, Chuck Laurie. Zac Efron.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, first, right now, my priority is getting this Facebook post to 1,000 likes so we can get some more solid RTs on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we do that, I might start exploring those connections and seeing if we can get Efron on the line.
Okay.
The only thing, if I was able to meet him, and it sounds like we're on the right path to that, I'm going to say, hey, you maybe you're getting too ripped. You don't want to see someone like Zac. He's still a kid to me. Pulling a Joe Piscopo and getting distractingly muscular. It's going to take away from his comedy.
He's
one of the better comedic actors, and he's getting ripped. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, he's getting pretty rock hard up there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, but not down there. I've seen his legs are like, hey, someone's skipping a gym day. But his upper, yeah, it's very muscular.
Just one more idea.
That asshole needs a muffler. Sorry.
What about Tyrese, who seems to...
The actor/model?
Isn't he the one that's on Twitter and has tons of followers and follows everybody?
Oh no, that's Taye Diggs.
Oh, Taye Diggs.
Yeah.
Another racist moment with Karen
Kilgariff. Yeah, Kilgariff. Yeah. It's that is only chalked up to racism.
I mean, but there's the letters T and Y in both names.
And they have like, similar faces
and skin color.
He's that
guy who follows
her
from Twitter, what, MLK or something? Hakeem Olajuwon?
He's either...
Hakeem Olajuwon! Oh, man, if my arm twisted that way, we would be high-fiving.
Houston Rockets, number 34.
Well, I apologize to everybody that's not bright white like me.
You know, Karen, you've worked in the TV industry a long time. You think you get any connections you might be interested in getting involved in Spider-Man Tweet?
I mean...
It'd be great for their image.
I count pretty much every staff member at the Ellen DeGeneres Show as my deep enemy, so we've got those connections, which can sometimes be more powerful than positive ones.
You think Spider-Man Tweet could repair those bridges?
I mean, here's the thing. On that show, they work in... They love social media. They utilize social media. They use it as their own content for free. It seems to be right up their alley.
It's funny that you bring up Ellen, because Ellen DeGeneres currently holds the record for most RT tweet.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
From the Oscars?
From the Oscars.
Yeah.
Oh, that photo.
So is your aim perhaps to beat that record?
I would love if Spider-Man Tweet could get RT'd more times.
Boy, the only way you could do it is get everyone in that photo involved.
How many times did that tweet get RT'd, Ellen's Oscar tweet?
I have no idea. You actually
either.
Came with the information.
Yeah, you're Let's the see. One that's
you're
spouting
the one that,
all this bullshit,
yeah, you're
so
the one
you can't then turn around and ask us questions about it.
Karen, I feel like maybe you got a little
harsh.
I don't
think that you called it bullshit, Karen.
Yeah, yeah, it seemed... I was surprised by it, Nate.
I'm not sure when this sketch is going to end, but...
info?
I thought I was playing my part as the bitch.
No, Karen, I need to know that everything I've said about Spider-Man Tweet is 100% true.
Not any of it is untrue?
I literally have 2 producers and an intern.
No!
On
Neat! No, I don't.
Yet.
Your
not
comedy
yet.
Is so new. It's so of the now in the way that it's real. and 24/7. It's like living theater.
Yeah, I think I know that after today I'm going to reapproach the way I do it.
Tweeting?
Comedy and tweeting.
I mean, now you're...
Interning.
I'm serious about announcing you as new intern for Spider-Man Tweet.
Well, tell me what I need to do. I'll start with retweeting. Okay, we're back. Ran out of power there. We were talking about Ellen DeGeneres and the batteries went tits up.
How many retweets did her Oscar?
So Ellen's Oscars tweet, which currently holds a record for most RTs, has 3.34 million RTs.
Shit.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. 3,000,034.
I think Spider-Man tweet can...
That is the population of Montana and Wyoming combined.
I don't even think I've gotten that many RTs on all my Ts combined.
I'm sorry to be presumptuous, but I guarantee you haven't.
Yeah. That's
see, now I've attacked Nate. That's something we've done on the podcast.
I like it. I don't mind it at all.
Am I like the first guest who's been attacked?
No. This is something we do at the 45-minute mark. We start. our self-esteem gets challenged. We worry about the future of the podcast right at the 45-minute mark, and then we lash out.
Or the batteries just die.
Yeah.
You know what, guys? Whoa,
what was that?
Dog was just walking into the street, which it was.
Curb your animal.
Yeah,
Did you guys... I've been confused by those signs that say curb your pet.
It means...
Well, it makes me think of American History X.
I have been, too.
Curb stomp your pet.
And literally yesterday, I think I figured it out.
It means pick up your dog shit.
Well, but... Oh.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
And that's what everyone thinks. Oh. Like, have your dog near the
curb.
Yeah,
who's the dickhead now, Karen?
Yeah. I'm 100% always the dickhead. There's no question.
Curb as in, like, curb your enthusiasm. Keep it at a minimum. The excitement level of your pet.
No. What?
Curb your pet. Do not have them bark. Do not have them in a frenzy. Let's curb them.
No.
Oh, that's not what I... Here's what I thought.
Okay.
And again, I don't know if this is true. This is just all conjecture.
I hope we're all dickheads at the end of the story.
I know what I have said to be true, but I will hear you out.
So, this is what I think. And then, listeners, you know, if you know the answer, click like on Spider-Man Tweet and then tweet at us.
Yeah, and that'll be a good way of letting us know specifically who you believe.
Please email the intern and let them know what your vote is.
And that is me.
I think, because I saw someone with a, like, string around their lawn, and then a sign on the string on the lawn that said, please curb your dog, and I took it to mean, don't let your dog go to the bathroom on our lawn, have it go to the bathroom on the curb.
Like the actual cement edge?
Or like the grass, the grass.
I mean, if you stop and think about what you've said, and put it up against the logic of what I've said. Mm-hmm. I just ask you for a minute. Who in the world would ask a dog to poop on the edge of a curb, specifically poop on the curb?
I think it's more saying, don't have your dog poop on my lawn.
I don't pull rank on people. I'm not someone that's confident. I didn't do that well in school, but I am right. It is curb in the usage of the show Curb Your Enthusiasm. Keep it at a minimum.
And I'd just like to say that upon hearing both of your definitions, I know for a fact I'm right. And this is going to be a delicious reveal.
Wait. Before you make your big reveal, put one more one more point towards mine?
Okay.
Because I thought the phrase curb your enthusiasm came from the phrase curb your dog.
Well, it's the very first episode, actually, which they didn't air because it was the pilot. Edward Norton curbs a Nazi. I forget. I think it's a good thing that I don't remember the plot of that hateful movie.
It's probably for the best.
Well, so I interpreted curb your enthusiasm meaning like, hey, your enthusiasm... Get it out of here. Bring it over to the street.
Yeah.
Put it on the street. God. I don't want it.
Yeah. We don't need your excitement in our lawn. And that is what curb your dog means.
Mm-mm, it's really not.
Okay. So, I'm going to Google it.
Do it.
Do you want me to do it during the pod?
Yes.
I'm so impatient.
I am too.
Wanting to know
I want to know who the winner is.
What does curb your dog mean? I'm going to use voice command.
Now I know Chris just put the brakes on me pretty hard.
Okay. And here we go.
But now I think me and him are on the same team.
Okay, here we go.
Of course he's kissing here your ass. He wants that internship.
He's got the internship.
What does curb your dog mean? Question mark.
Hurry.
What does curb your dog mean, Siri?
What I found on the web for what does curb your dog
the cur-
mean?
The term curb your dog, it's coming up on Urban Dictionary, a very valid source.
What?
Curb your dog. The term curb your dog basically has two meanings. Oh, shit.
No, don't use Urban Dictionary.
One meaning is to keep your dog under control and out of trouble, i.e. keep your dog leashed or confined to your property as to keep others from causing trouble for others. It means to... Okay. It means to pick up your dog's poo when they're out of property. Curb, it, the main meaning is keep your dog under control.
Okay, I demand
curb
a second source.
Excitement.
Urban Dictionary does not count.
Oh, really?
That's a 13-year-old boy in New Jersey
who
wrote that.
The frivolous, fleeting thoughts that are diarrheaing out of your untrained brains. It beats a valid website that gets very many lists. I'm sorry I'm yelling.
I used to write for a trivia game years ago, and we were not allowed to cite Urban Dictionary as a source.
What about Answers.com?
Yes, Answers. That's fine.
Oh, that's more valid.
No, but...
Well, get ready to egg in your face.
What about some kind
double
of...
Double egg in your face!
But Merriam-Webster, someone that we've heard of.
Oh, yes. Merriam-Webster, a fictitious, made-up person who is no Random House. All right, I'm at Answers.com, which has the same setup. I think it's the same people.
Yeah, they're definitely under the same
looking
parent company.
Looking up the... What does curb your dog mean? These signs are often seen around cities or public areas. Mm-hmm. Curb your dog means that owners must keep their dogs from soiling buildings, sidewalks, and parks and walkways.
Hi.
Hi what?
Hi, it's I am Lynn.
No, what? Dog owners in urban areas should refrain from letting their dogs go to a bathroom in the middle of the sidewalk or urinating on the... Well, it's not saying the actual curb meaning. Oh, I'm starting to give up.
It means pick up your shit.
Yeah, but that mean it doesn't mean put the shit on the curb. It has nothing to do with a physical curb. That's all I'm saying.
You said it meant to keep your dog calm.
Yeah, which means
which
don't
is,
let him
the answer
shit
to
everywhere.
That is
like
No. You didn't have shit in your definition.
What does curb your
don't
dog on a sign
try to come over
mean?
Onto my thing.
Yahoo Answers.
We just keep bringing up different definitions.
Okay, I should say specifically... Oh, no, our guest went to sleep. He's in the back sleeping like a baby.
I think he's pouting.
No, he's just upset.
What's the matter now? What is it, Nate?
When you get mad, do you talk about yourself being mad in the third person?
He's so upset.
Nate is upset.
Baby, sad. No, it sounds like of the multiple definitions of curb, mine wasn't even anywhere near any of them.
Right.
Well, at
that's
least we
sure.
have one person
but
admitting
the weird
that they're
thing,
wrong.
The weird thing is I'm still positive mine's right.
Isn't this so like life? This is how everything goes.
That's how I was in math class, too. I refused to believe all of that. And I wasn't replacing it with any knowledge. I just refused to believe in it.
I feel like I'm often wrong, 50% of the time. And I'm always totally shocked. I can't believe it. When I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I wish I had your unshakable, unwarranted confidence. Oh, infinity. More like take that long to turn right rather than infinity the car.
I'm often correct, but I never said the thing that I thought to be correct out loud. So I'm like only correct to me. Like in my head,
right.
I get to be like, yeah, I knew that.
Can I tell you one of the best things Nate Fernald did when we were working on the Pete Holmes show together?
Yes.
Is Pete Holmes would often like to lecture people about eating healthy food and making the right choices. So someone, and it could have been me, I don't know if it was you, there was an empty package of Reese's Sticks next to you on the couch.
Yeah.
And Pete started talking about who's eating that and blah, blah, blah. I think I was the one that ate it because I was immediately just silent. I was just like, I'm not admitting to anything.
We just drove by Honey Boo Boo's mom. But please don't stop with your story.
Oh, don't stop?
Don't.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
So he started saying, you don't even know what's in that. You know, that's so crazy. You don't, why would you eat that? You don't even know what's in it. And Nate goes, Oh, because we all got them at the store. That's why.
Yes.
So Pete picked up a wrapper that was near him and goes, you don't even know what's in this and you're eating it. And Nate goes, I don't know, dextrose? And then Pete goes, you can't name five things. And Nate was naming, he was naming every single ingredient on this crazy candy that was all chemicals. And he was blowing Pete's mind. And I looked down, like I was sitting there. I thought you, honestly, the way you were playing it was like you were off the top of your head, like riboflavin or whatever the thing was.
I even purposely mixed up, like didn't get some in the right order. Like, cause, like next one's either yellow number five.
You
or
had another one in your lap and you were.
Yes,
oh,
it was just
so
right
funny.
Next to him on the couch. So he didn't pick it up or anything. He was just looking down and peeking at the ingredients. And it went on for a really long time anyone got on. It was so funny.
Oh, that's great.
That was a good one.
Well, do you remember the jelly bean trick?
Is that where you guess how many are in a big jar and you win a bike? That's
yeah.
a really jelly bean
I
trick.
Won the bike.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that was Joe DeRosa thought he was going to prank everybody by giving them Bots beans, the Harry Potter jelly beans that are terrible flavors, like barf and
just
like puke and boogers
and they really taste like that.
Yeah,
they apparently they really taste like that.
That's fucking disgusting.
But,
I hate it.
Wait, is it because he told you what he was gonna do?
No, so Joe had a box and Joe got me with it. He was like, dude, you gotta try one of these jelly beans, and he gave me one. I ate it and it was horrible, and I was like,
what flavor did you get?
Diarrhea, so I don't remember. It was terrible.
Oh, that's the worst one to get.
It's terrible.
Then, I was upset. I was like, I trusted you. I ingested something into my body that you gave to me, and I trusted you as a friend, and you betrayed that trust. And I was very upset with him. So I went out and bought a bag of regular jelly beans, and when he wasn't looking, I dumped out his fake ones and filled the box with regular ones. So he kept trying to go prank people with these prank jelly beans. He'd be like, hey, man, you got to try these new jelly beans. Like, here, have one.
And people are like, yeah, okay.
Like, yeah, it's pretty good. And he'd be like, have another one. Have another one. And he kept, like, digging through the box trying to find the grossest, the weirdest looking one. He'd be like, yeah, try this one. This one's the best. Try this
one. Love disarming someone's prank.
It was so funny.
Because I'm not a pranker, and I that's not my kind of...
I hate pranks.
I don't like
so
pranks
rude.
Either. Yeah, it's
yeah,
the
terrible.
Worst. Hey, get it? I lied, and you believed
I
me
because
you were raised right.
Like, my all-time least favorite prank is there's this one of those like prank shows. There's this old lady walking around, and like she dropped something out of her purse, and then when someone went to pick it up for her, they got zapped. And I was like,
oh,
you just
terrible.
Punished a person for helping an old woman.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the worst.
It's
kind.
Disgusting.
Horrible.
Yeah, there was another one that I saw where someone had a baby carriage and they'd ask for directions and the baby carriage would go in the ocean and people freaked out and got emotional and wanted to jump in the water, and then he'd go, ha, it's an empty baby carriage.
Yeah.
And I wanted to leap into the TV.
There was a show, it was like bloopers and practical jokes or whatever that was on in the 80s. And
I love bloopers.
Right?
I
do love bloopers, too. They're hilarious. I could watch them all day. But they had one. They would show practical joke shows from around the world. And there was one. All the ones in South America were so intense and crazy. There was one where a guy would run up on a busy corner where there was like, it would look like a New York City street corner of all these people waiting across the street. He would run up and put down a briefcase and then run away. And everyone would just start screaming and running in every direction.
Wow.
And it was like, that's terrorism. You can't just do that to people. But apparently it was fine down there.
It's I look for on the internet, it's very specific videos that I look for after bum fights.
No.
I look for the pranks that go wrong because someone says, oh, really? You just put a piece of ham on my shoulder, patted me on the back, and now there's ham on there, and they punch them. They punch the prank. All right. Because prank people forget that there's lunatics out there that will just fight you.
Yes.
That's the one thing. Like,
and they deserve to be fought if they're going to walk up.
And maybe I can relate more to those people that lash out in anger.
Hate Vine pranks. It's the worst thing.
Because you have to see them over and over.
Vine is already the worst thing that happened to the internet. But now there's also people on Vine who just make vines of them pranking people.
I like vines that are animation.
Yeah, those are cool. Like,
yeah,
the actual like art on Vine is great.
Yeah, like stop motion
stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Sometimes if I just want to like be upset for a little while, I go to Vine and I click the What's Hot in Comedy tag. And oh my God, it is just.
Oh no. Ugh. Yeah, what is hot in Vine comedy is not in what's hot in the real world.
I want to like write an article about this, but there's basically like four Vines that people are doing. There's basically something boring happening, and then all of a sudden cut to a dance song playing.
Ugh.
And then there's someone kind of complaining about something, complain about this, and then all of a sudden like, bitch, you know I'll kill, like, they just like get really loud at the last second.
Those kind of vines.
And then there's a vine that's just someone like making a face, and then underneath it it says, this is me when I'm watching whatever. And there's, what was the fourth one?
This could be us, but you'd be playing or something. I don't like those. There's another one where it's like someone gets upset or runs, or it's a kid like pushing another kid in a playground, and then it freezes and it says Thug Life, and it will play some gangsta rap song.
It's just the same. There's like this, the same four things being done over and over and over
again.
And
it might be out of jealousy, but I get offended by all these billboards now that have YouTube famous people.
Oh, I know.
Where it's just some girl with a scarf or something holding a dog and it says Susie Johnson 1 million fans, and there's a billboard of it advertising to go see her video vlog, which is kind of like saying ATM machine
or salsa sauce. Salsa sauce.
Oh, we are
donut snacks.
We are on the verge of running out of power. So
let's
I think
this thing.
I'm going to wrap it up. Okay. Let's spank this baby and put a fork in its ass.
Nate, you're moving away back to New York, aren't you?
I am on Wednesday.
We're going to miss you very much.
Yeah, I wish that you lived here and that we were friends.
I'll be honest, guys. I think I might be happier in L.A. than New York.
Yay.
I got to do some serious soul searching.
Oh, really?
And figure
Search
that out.
Soul.
And you haven't even gone to like the wilderness areas around here.
Oh, I have.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it's the best.
I went swimming with otters.
Oh.
See, and you can't do that in New York.
Yeah, you can't.
You can swim with slush when you fall off your bike.
And you can.
Or another better example.
And you can.
You can pee on a rat.
And you can.
And you can puke on a pigeon.
And you can drink till 4 in the morning, sometimes 6.
Okay, now I'm moving to New York.
I know, I got to get out of this goddamn town.
I don't want to piss on rats at 4 a.m.
Do you have anything to plug?
Yeah.
Spider-Man tweet.
Yeah.
Okay, of
course.
Yeah,
we did that.
And then my comedy duo, Team Submarine, we have two albums out. Check them out.
I've heard of Team Submarine.
They're
very funny.
You can get them wherever albums are on the internet. But if you go to our website, teamsubmarine.net, and buy the physical CD, that's the best deal.
Awesome.
So do that.
Yay.
I got boxes of them. I got to get them out.
And go to iTunes and give us a high rating as far as this podcast goes. This has been a terrific episode. I'm glad the last one's lost.
I'm glad, although, I mean, male butt waxing gone forever.
Yeah.
So sad.
Well, unless, what are you guys doing tonight?
Yeah!
Freeze frame!
It's been one week to go on.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR!